Again, it's very nice to be invited back to Kennaway to once again share with you in the word of the gospel. You know, I was quite amazed to think that I have spoken here before. I don't know whether everyone who will remember that or not, but it's approximately 7 years ago, and I find that very, very hard to believe that it's 7 years since I was here. And as I look around about, you know, a few things have changed. Mostly the inside of the hall. It's looking very smart. It's been all well done up. But you know, in the 7 years since I was here to stand upon the platform, we can be absolutely sure tonight that there is one thing that hasn't changed. And that's the message that we come to preach. And I come tonight, unfortunately, and perhaps in your mind, unfortunately, not to tell you something new. Not to tell you something that you may never have heard before. But tonight I just come to preach Christ and Him crucified. Something that has happened in this building for many, 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 many years. And can I also say it's a great joy to see everyone who has gathered along, and we trust that each one of us tonight will be blessed for being here this evening. I wonder, could we look, please, in the Epistle to the Acts. The Epistle to the Acts in chapter number 8. We're going to look tonight at a very well-known story, a historical account about a man who, the Ethiopian eunuch, as we commonly call him, who went up to Jerusalem to try and find some respite for his soul, and met someone else on the way back. But we're going to read this account of the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, please. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Then over to verse number 26, please. And it says there, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And we trust again this evening that the Lord will bless to us this very familiar reading from his precious word. You know, to read through in the book of the Acts, I suppose in particular, some of the historical accounts of the work of some of the early apostles, some of the earlier preachers, those who were just carrying out the command from Scripture, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Carried this forth, and sometimes in great adversity, they were able to see some mighty works that were done for the Lord. And in this book, in this chapter in Acts chapter 8, we read about this man by the name of Philip. And we read particularly at the beginning of the chapter where Philip went down into the city of Samaria, and we can see there the work that Philip was doing. He was preaching. He was using his apostolic power. There were many people who were believing. There were many people who were being blessed. And yet, the last part of the chapter shows quite a different. It's quite a unique circumstance where Philip is taken away from a place where he has much blessing. And you know, he goes down into the desert, and there he meets with this man who we commonly will call the Ethiopian eunuch. And there he meets him, and he is able to guide him to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as we stand here tonight in September, the last, very, very nearly the last day of September in 2013, you know, the principle of preaching, the message that is preached, it hasn't changed. And what happened nearly 2,000 years ago in the desert in Gaza, you know, it can happen tonight in Kennaway. It can happen, and there are lessons that we can learn from this particular story, and there are lessons that each one of us can take away. And if you're in this gospel meeting tonight, and as yet you have never come to that point where you understand and that you realize how you are in the sight of a holy God, where you have never come and acknowledged your sin before God, well then I trust and pray in this gospel meeting tonight that there will be one who will accept Christ as their own and personal Saviour. Now, I plan to be very simple, that even perhaps the younger ones in the meeting tonight, it will not be difficult to take away the crux of the message that I have to speak. You know, we're going to learn tonight, we're going to learn five very simple messages, or very simple lessons from this story. It is not an exhaustive conclusion. I can assure you there are many other lessons that we could learn. And if someone else came up and decided to speak on the same subject, they might have five completely different things that they would want you to learn. But, you know, it's appealed to me very, very simply. Five little headings, five little words, and we're going to look at them tonight. And we're going to see what we can learn from Philip and the eunuch. You know, the first thing that we will learn is about the condition of this man, the eunuch. I know we read about Philip first, but we're going to go on ahead into the story to verse number 26 and verse number 27, and we're going to see a few things about this man, the eunuch. This man was a very, very powerful man. I suppose in today's terms, we've heard it said many times, you know, this man, he would be the equivalent, I suppose, a man in charge of all the treasure. Now, I don't know how much treasure there is in Great Britain. I don't know how much tangible stuff that we have, but the man who's in charge of all our financial affairs, a man we call the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And we're going to say tonight that this eunuch, he was a man in a position of great power. I assume he was a man also of great personal wealth. And you know, this man, he had a great standing, and yet he had gone, he had come from the south, he had come from this place of Ethiopia and the continent of Africa, he had made his way up to Jerusalem, and you know, his condition was such that he was a man who was able to do that. You know, in our ministry meeting this afternoon, we learned about people through the Passover time who came and made their way. We think again of Mary and Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ as they made their way when he was 12, up to the Passover, up to worship, and up to make sacrifices, to learn of the sacrifices that were offered to God. And this man came, he came with the ambition in his heart to come and to please and to please God. So we think, first of all, tonight, we're going to think of the condition, and we have thought a wee bit about the condition of this man, the eunuch. Then we can go back to the start, and we think of the location. So we have the condition of the eunuch. I want to think now of the location of Philip. Philip was preaching in a city which was called Samaria, a city which had seen a lot of blessing, a city where Philip had come. And you know, he had started to preach, and I could just imagine, and we could picture the scene ourselves. There were many, many people who were gathering in. He was able to show his power. He was able to show what he could do, and he was able to heal them physically, heal them off their palsies, as it says. He was able to cast out demons. He was able to point them to the one true Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said that there were many people. In verse number 8 we read, "And there was great joy in that city." I suppose the lesson for us today would be that if there was a work being done, if we saw a work done, we would automatically say, we'll stay, we'll keep up this work. But you know, just at the right place, at the right time, the angel of the Lord came down and said, you must go. The work for Philip just at that point, it was finished. And despite what Philip would have wanted to do, and isn't it wonderful tonight when we can see that Philip was able, was willing just to submit and just to do exactly what he was told. He went from the place where he was seeing blessing. He went from the place where he was guaranteed that people were coming to hear him. And you know, he was called, and it wasn't a particularly hospitable place. And it said in verse number 26, it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go to the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is a desert. I'm sure Philip, after he had received that message, after he had received that call from the Spirit, from the angel of the Lord, he must have sat there scratching his head and said, why on earth would I leave a heavily populated city, a city with all its need, with all these people who are heading for eternity, and you know, God is calling me just down into a desert. How many people do we know that would want to live, or how many people can live in a desert? I'll tell you, not very many. It's not a hospitable place. It's not a place that is welcoming to humanity and to mankind. You know, there's a wonderful lesson in this tonight. Perhaps you're in this meeting, and you know, you think to yourself, well, I haven't been dealt anything great in life. Life has been pretty tough on me. You know, I haven't got a huge multitude of friends. I haven't got a huge multitude of people that I can... At times I feel alone. At times I feel lonely. At times I feel just as if the pressures of this world are getting in among you. You know, can I tell you tonight? God was willing to send one of his great servants just to reach the heart of one individual man. And we have come tonight to present to you a God and a Savior who is interested in individuals. He's not interested in collectives. He's not collectively interested in great big groups of people. He looks down from heaven tonight. He doesn't see a group of people in the gospel hall in Kennewe. He looks down and sees individuals, each and every one of us. And can I tell you tonight, the word of God reminds us that the very hairs of our head in the sight of God are numbered. He knows every single thing about us. And if you're in this meeting tonight, you know, and you're having particular problems and issues, things perhaps that the people in the seats beside you, things perhaps that your nearest and dear know absolutely nothing about, can I tell you tonight that we come and we speak to you and we try and preach to you the God and the Savior of the individual. He's interested in you as a person. And God was quite prepared to take Philip out of a place where he was seeing much blessing, take him into a place where potentially there may be none. And there the eunuch was. And you know, not only do we have the condition of the eunuch as he was the chancellor, not only do we have the location of Philip, but then we have the confusion. We have the confusion of the eunuch. He had been up to Jerusalem. He had come from the south. He had come up to Jerusalem. And there, no doubt, he was at the Passover, and he had learned all about the blood that was shed, about sacrifices that were given, at lambs that were taken and their blood was shed. We all know from the book of Exodus, and the blood was applied at the Passover, and the firstborn, and he had left Jerusalem, and I'm quite sure he didn't know much more than when he had gone. And when he stopped his chariot, and he was confused, he started to read. And he read at Isaiah chapter 53, as we would know it today, a very well-known portion. And there he read about being a lamb that was led to the slaughter, a sheep that was dumb before her shearers, one that was silent in a time of torment and judgment and mockery. And you know, he was confused. You know, the word of God, perhaps, to those who are unlearned, to those of the world today, if you were to come in and set an individual passage in front of them, I can tell you it very possibly would be a very confusing experience. But tonight we have the whole Word of God. We just don't take individual passages out of context and read them. We have the whole Word of God. We have the Spirit of God that is able to enlighten us. And Philip was able to come and to draw alongside this eunuch, and he was able to speak to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a day of confusion. We live in a day of confusion. many different thoughts, many different theories. Many different people have plans, not only for this life, but for the life and a never-ending life that is to come. And you know, tonight, the devil that was quoted in our prayer meeting, the god of this world, Satan himself, he has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And exactly what Satan wants tonight is for men and women and boys and girls to live their lives in a state of confusion, not quite knowing what a day will bring forth, not quite knowing where they're going to go. Can I tell you tonight, everyone in Kennewe tonight, you know, they live their lives in a state of confusion, spiritual confusion. But yet we have, as I've said already, we have this Word of God, which is able to enlighten each and every one of us. If we take for a very simple example tonight, the whole way that we live our lives and what will happen at the end of life. If you were to stop 100 people in Kennewe tonight and say, are you going to heaven? Yes, we would all agree that each and every one at the end of life, they will want to go to heaven. There's very few people that you will meet will not want to be in heaven at some time. Where the confusion arises is, well, how are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? And there are many people tonight who are blinded and they are doing the best they can. And they believe that in some way they will be able to attain. You know, we used to sing a chorus when I went to Sunday school quite a few years ago now, back in Ballymena in Northern Ireland. And it went simply like this: one way God says to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. And the chorus went, no other way, no other way, no other way to go. One way God says to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. And from the confusion of this man, the eunuch, I want to be able to leave you to leave this place tonight with absolutely no doubt in your mind of what it means, of what way you are in the sight of a holy God, of what way you are heading in light of a never-ending eternity. And with the help of God, we want to be able to present you and present to you one who can save you for time and for eternity. We had the condition of the eunuch, we had the location of Philip, we had the confusion of the eunuch, and now we have the revelation of Philip. You know, as Philip drew alongside, come up into the chariot, and the question was asked, understandest thou what thou readest? Understandest thou what thou readest? What was the response of the eunuch? And he said, and the eunuch answered, verse number 34, and it says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Verse number 35, here comes the revelation. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The great thing about Philip was his message never changed. If we go back right to the beginning where we read, and it said that Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ. Now he has come to this individual man and it says that he preaches unto him Jesus. You know, the gospel tonight is a message of good news, a message of hope, a message of life, a message which is centered around one man, the man of Calvary, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And you know, tonight we come and we present a solution to the solution to the confusion. We come tonight and preach and speak to you about the only one who can meet your need in light of a never-ending eternity. You know, if we get back and say to ourselves, well, yes, what exactly is this good news? What exactly does it mean to preach Jesus? We come tonight and this is called a gospel meeting. What exactly does it mean to come and to preach the gospel? Well, you know, the gospel is good news, as we all know. And as we sing with the children, we were singing in the home tonight with little Alfie. Good news, Christ died for... good news, if I believe. You know, tonight we come and we preach good news because of the consequences of our lives. We preach good news because of the consequences of our actions. We preach good news because of the consequences of every single individual that has ever been born in this world. And the consequences of that actions means that in the sight of a holy God, that we are, each and every one of us, we are sinners. The Bible tells us very, very clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of what we have done in the past, because of the way that we are born in sin. And there's absolutely nothing that we can do to change that. And everybody that you meet, you know, you meet a lot of people these days, and when you speak to them about God and they look around about and say, well, if God's a God of love, how does he let these bad things happen? How come that he can't, if he sees that I'm a sinner, if he loves me enough, well, then he let me into heaven. Can I tell you, yes, God is a God of love, a love that you will never, ever contemplate or understand. Our God loves each and every one of us. Can I tell you tonight, our God is also a righteous God. The Bible tells us that God must and God will punish sin. And it's an absolute impossibility just for God to sweep sin under the carpet and perhaps that it will be there and he just take no notice of it. God must and God will punish sin. Let's not be absolutely clear about that tonight. That one day you will. If you're not saved down here, you will stand an account of your sin. Not the sins of anyone else, and of your sin. The revelation of Philip. You know, what was God's solution? The only solution that could happen? And this is where we come now and we preach Jesus. We preach Christ. Because of the sin, there had to be a sacrifice. That's what the eunuch was up in Jerusalem. He was up to commemorate the feast of the Passover, where there was one who was sacrificed, where there's one whose blood was shed. Each and every animal that was the blood was shed, it was pointing forth to the perfect sacrifice that would come. Our brother John has quoted it more than once today, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And each and every sacrifice that was slain on the altars on the Jewish altars, they all looked forward to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice that would come. And what gave him the right to come? Because he was sinless. Because he was pure. Because he was perfect. He could be a sacrifice for sin. And he allowed himself to be taken. And he allowed himself to be nailed by the hands and by the feet. And there he offered himself. The word of God reminds us who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. And that day, as Philip would sit and explain to this eunuch, a man of great privilege, a man of great wealth, a man of great social standing, the gospel that was preached to him is exactly the same gospel as the gospel that comes to the people of Kennaway tonight. And perhaps you think you're slightly better than your neighbour that lives down the road, or you're not quite so good as someone else that lives up the street. The gospel that we come and preach to each and every one, even though it is for the individual, it's identical to each and every person. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And this was all part of the revelation that Philip was able to give to this eunuch, that there was one who had died just a few years before. There was one who had come. There was one who had been rejected. There was one who came who was the Messiah. There was one who had died because he was perfect. There was one who was buried. And there was one who had risen again. Let's not forget tonight we come and we preach Christ crucified. I thank the Lord that I can come and preach Christ crucified. One who died, one who was buried, and one who rose again. And tonight we come, and with joy in our hearts, we speak of a living Saviour, one who is alive forevermore, one who is seated at the Father's right hand. And what a joy and what a wonder it is that one who has been through so much at the hands of the creatures that his hands created, yet he sits tonight in heaven with love in his heart, and we can preach Christ. We can preach Jesus. We can preach him and him crucified to the whosoever will. You know, it was all very well for the eunuch to sit, as many, If you were to take even over the last 10 years, this hall couldn't contain every person that's been here and listened to this message. Perhaps much more ably preached than I'm preaching it tonight. You know, when they've sat and listened. And was it good enough for the eunuch just to sit there with his arms folded and say, you know, that's a wonderful message. And you know, I can sort of see exactly where you're coming from. I can see what you're talking about. It's wonderful. I can see that it's obviously made a huge impression on your life. It's had an effect for you. That's great. You know, the eunuch had to act on it. And you know, when he looked and he studied and he analysed exactly what had happened, he was able to say, he was able to say to Philip on that occasion, he was able to say, what doth hinder me to be baptised? What doth hinder me to be baptised? And the really important part that I want to get to here is Philip's response to him. Philip had a response to the confession of the eunuch. If thou believest. The whole subject of the eunuch being baptized, and yes, that's something that was absolutely scripturally sound and scripturally important that he would do that, but the whole way that he, if he was to be baptized, it was if he believed with all his heart. The Bible again, in this book, a wee bit further over, there was a jailer one night. And as the jail had rocked and he came in, and as Paul and Silas, supposing them to be fled, he would have killed himself. And he asked a very simple question, a very poignant question, as he was about to end his life, what must I do to be saved? And the response, again to those, to that jailer that night, was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The same response as Philip gave the eunuch on that day. If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And you know, we get to the crux of the gospel tonight. And we come and we talk about believing. We talk about accepting. We talk about having faith. We talk about trusting. And you know, I was in a position like this when I was a child and when I was growing up, and I used to come to gospel meetings every Sunday night in life, and you used to sit and hear all these preachers and they would talk about believe, accept, trust, have faith, all these different words. And you know, I had tried to trust. I tried to accept. I tried to believe. I tried to do everything that I could. And I wasn't saved. I was 21. And what exactly does it mean to accept, to believe, to trust, to have faith? Well, the only way that I can explain it to you is that the night that I got saved, I forgot all about my believing. On previous occasions, I had sat and with physical conscience in my heart, I had tried to trust. I had tried to work up and tried to muster some kind of exaggerated faith that would be pleasing in the sight of God. And yet the night I was saved, I completely forgot all about that. And they said, well, how did you get saved then? Why did you forget about it? Because for the first time I was occupied with someone completely different. He preached unto him Jesus. And for the first time in my life, I got occupied with a man who died on the cross for me. We spoke tonight about the God of the individual, and I'm sure I've told it from this platform before, but I'll tell it again. And on the night that I was saved, it came very clearly to me that if I was the only sinner in the world, if I only ever had committed one single sin, well, the Lord Jesus Christ would still have had to come from heaven to die for me. And that night it appealed to me that he had done that. He had died on the cross, he was buried, he had rose again. And you know, my sins were forgiven. And for the first time in my life, I appreciated that he had died for me. Was it any extra kind of mustering of faith or trusting or believing? No. But a realization that he had died for me. If you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, I trust that you would get to that position. I have tried, just as Philip did with the eunuch, albeit not as confidently or not as well, but I have tried to present to you the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Saviour of sinners. I have tried to give you the reasons why he died. I have tried to give you the reasons why we must have a gospel meeting like this on a Lord's Day evening. I have tried to tell you about the way you can see that you can see yourself as a holy God sees you. I have tried to tell you that there's only one that can meet your need. And tonight, I pray in this meeting that we will have a confession just like this eunuch who said, I believe with all my heart that there will be someone in this meeting would take God at his word, realize that the work is finished, all the doing has been done, and just rest there and accept and realize for the first time that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. It was not a wonderful ending to this story, where we read that Philip was taken away. He wasn't needed in that place anymore. And all as it tells us is that the eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing. It changes lives. There are many people in this room tonight who could testify to the wonderful changing power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it's a wonderful experience to get saved. It's an even more wonderful experience to live your life on a daily basis, knowing that we have one who sticketh closer than a brother. Remember we said at the beginning, a God who was interested in individuals, a God who continues on a daily basis to be interested in each and every one as individuals. We trust again this evening that the Lord will bless this preaching from his word. Let us pray.